Hallelujah, 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 hallelujah.
The Holy Gospel according to St. Luke, the 10th chapter.
Glory to you, O Lord.
After this, the Lord appointed 70 others and sent them on ahead of him in pairs to every town and place where he himself intended to go. He said to them, "The harvest is plentiful, but the laborers are few. Therefore, ask the Lord of the harvest to send out laborers into his harvest. Go on your way. See, I am sending you out like lambs into the midst of wolves. Carry no purse, no bag, no sandals, and greet no one on the road. Whatever house you enter, first say, 'Peace to this house.' And if anyone is there who shares in peace, your peace will rest on that person. But if not, it will return to you. Remain in the same house, eating and drinking whatever they provide, for the laborer deserves to be paid. Do not move about from house to house. Whenever you enter a town and its people welcome you, eat what is set before you. Cure the sick who are there, and say to them, 'The kingdom of God has come near to you.' But whenever you enter a town and they do not welcome you, go out into its streets and say, 'Even the dust of your town that clings to our feet, we wipe off in protest against you. Yet know this, the kingdom of God has come near. Whoever listens to you listens to me, and whoever rejects you rejects me, and whoever rejects me rejects the one who sent me.' The 70 returned with joy, saying, 'Lord, in your name even the demons submit to us.' He said to them, 'I watched Satan fall from heaven like a flash of lightning. See, I have given you authority to tread on snakes and scorpions and over all the power of the enemy, and nothing will hurt you. Nevertheless, do not rejoice at you, but rejoice that your names are written in heaven.'" The Gospel of the Lord. Praise to you, O Christ. Please be seated. Grace and peace to you from our Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. It struck me in preparing this week how such a seemingly basic gospel reading, one that isn't filled with confusing sayings or harsh words or challenging teachings, really, one that basically just tells the story of what happened between Jesus and his disciples, how could such a text in some ways be such a difficult one? Luke is telling the story of the commissioning of 70 or 72, depending on your manuscript, of his disciples, giving them instructions and sending them forth into towns and villages to bring healing and peace and to share God's good news. The kingdom of heaven has come near. In the story context of Jesus' earthly ministry, it makes sense. It's a pretty straightforward story, as they say. But in our current context, I wonder if it could really sound more unsettling and even scary to us. Because we live in such an individualistic culture, such a consumeristic culture, where talking about religion is a social taboo and faith is a private matter. A gospel like this from Luke seems worlds away from our experience. We have a story about working together, living an unsettled life on the road without the possessions we come to rely on, to go uninvited to the homes of complete strangers, to talk to them about something they may not want to hear, a message that we can barely put into words ourselves. Who's ready to sign up? While we are more mobile and less rooted than previous generations, we tend to move for things like education or unlikely to go into traveling missionary work on behalf of God and the church. This would be difficult for us anyway, since again, many of us struggle to put into words what we believe or why we believe it, or even why our faith is important to us. We tend to balk at models of evangelism, especially when we call it that, that involve going door to door and meeting strangers. And all this comes against the backdrop of the church in this past century, which has often treated ministry and mission as specialized fields, intentionally sending missionaries overseas and professional clergy into congregations. When someone is sent away to do God's work in another place, or when the personalities and priorities of professional clergy have primarily shaped the life of local congregations, we lose our sense of individual call to mission, and we lose our sense of collective call to mission as well. But this is what it means to be the church. To be the church is to be God's people called out. And all these trends have moved us so far from this notion that each of us is called by our baptism to do God's work, that the mission of the church is a call to mission for each and every one of us, to be among God's faithful people, to hear the word and share in the sacrament, to proclaim the good news, to serve all people, and to seek justice and peace. But with a reading that sounds so foreign at first, how do we find our way in? Thankfully, I think there are some good points for us to connect to, and there's good news to be found. And part of that good news, I think, in this gospel is that we are invited to recover or formulate for the first time an understanding that the sending of disciples to do God's work includes each and every one of us, and that what this looks like in our day and age does not have to look the same way as it did then. We may notice that Jesus doesn't necessarily instruct these disciples to travel into unknown, out-of-the-way places. He instructs them to go where he is already planning to go, and he sends them with the words, "Go on your way." What I take from this is that followers of Jesus can contribute to mission each in our own way, based on our own gifts, in the context of our own path forward, the context of our own families, our own communities, our own work and vocations. The other thing here is that Jesus is not giving us pie-in-the-sky instructions about how great this is going to be. He's honest that sometimes we will not be well-received. Doing God's mission work, sharing the gospel, will require vulnerability and grace, and sometimes even the ability to set good boundaries when the situation is unhealthy for us. God will bring peace to the people who are open to engaging with one another. Those who are will also offer the things that God's people need, hospitality and food and drink. And although this is not immediately evident, part of what this text is saying, I think, is that this work will break down preconceived prejudices and social barriers as Jesus' followers are called to accept whatever food is put in front of them and share community together around the table with people they have not yet known. Lastly, but certainly not least in this gospel, is the repeated affirmation that the kingdom of God has come near. It has already come in Jesus, and the effects of its coming continue into the future. When we face adversity, when we don't really receive the kindness or welcome we hope for, when we're down or discouraged about our life or the church or our faith, when any of those things happen, it can feel as if God is far off, as if the message we are called to share with authentic conviction is really just some illusory dream for us. But yet, we are called with this promise, the kingdom of God has come near. We are called to hold fast to that conviction and trust that promise that through Jesus, that reign is here with us. It is with us and it remains with us even when we can't see it or feel it or it feels so far off. As we learn and grow in our faith together, we become more aware of and attentive to the ways that God continues to work among us. We see those glimpses of grace coming through the cracks and bringing sustenance and hope for the journey ahead. So I think overall in this gospel, there is ample encouragement, not only for Jesus' first disciples in the time of Luke's gospel, but for all of us who seek to follow him today and who are called to invest in and commit ourselves anew to Christ's mission each day. As I mentioned earlier, it's a special day in the life of St. Andrew's congregation. We're installing Chris Atwood as our new Director of Faith Formation for First Third of Life Ministry. And we know that Chris brings to this ministry years of experience in ministry with children and youth, education in a training program at our Lutheran Seminary in Gettysburg, and many relationships that he has already cultivated with young people and families here at St. Andrew. Many of you who have worked with him already know what great gifts God has given him for this ministry. And so together today, trusting in God's goodness and grace, we are invited to move forward in hope, looking to what God can and will do to nurture our faith life and bring fruitful formation and growth through Chris's ministry among us. But some might ask the question, why now? Why is this the moment? Why is this important at our church, St. Andrew, today? Well, in the life of the church, in the details of administering a congregation, especially in a time when people are so often aware that resources feel less abundant than they once did, there seldom seems to be a right moment to do something new. In fact, I've learned that if we in the church talk around an issue enough and gives ourselves enough time to discuss it, we can talk ourselves out of anything. The congregation for a long time now, many years, even since before I came, had been talking about adding staff so that we could grow into what we really hope to be here. And so, like the disciples in today's gospel, we are invited to trust in God's gracious provision as we move forward. Not as a fantasy in which we don't do our part and just expect God to magically come up with what we need, financially or otherwise. But in Scripture, we see time and time again that when God's people are focused on the essentials of faith, worship, study of Scripture, prayer, community, talking about our experience of God and inviting others to do the same, that is where God gives growth. That is where great things can happen. That is where God brings new fruit to bear. A vibrant, fruitful church is one in which the people are passionate about their faith, can speak freely to witness to what God has done in each of our own lives. But the truth is, many of us adults haven't ever been guided and encouraged to really talk about our faith. We haven't really made ourselves vulnerable in talking with others. We haven't made ourselves vulnerable even with our youngest members of the church, helping them to show what it means to share this faith. And so bringing in a director of faith formation, I think, can help us do this. Chris will help give us the resources that we might not otherwise have had, the guidance that we might not otherwise have known, the tools that we need to begin talking about faith, sharing it with our children and our youth and our young adults, and thus creating a culture in which the good news of the gospel is shared freely. This good news is to be the heart of our faith, and yet so often we struggle to articulate it and share it. And it's interesting, I think, that in our on-demand culture, where any bit of information, any option for entertainment is available at the push of a button, our sense of urgency has hardly ever carried over into our work in the church. Yet at the start of this gospel, Jesus says, "The harvest is plentiful, but the laborers are few." In a more agriculturally oriented society, these words would have conveyed a sense of urgency, as harvest was a time when no time could be spared and all hands were needed to be available for work. And so this is true, we hear too, for the work of God's reign. There's always more to be done in bringing the life-giving good news of God in Christ Jesus. There's always more to be done, more people that need to know love and grace because they've never known it. The needs of the world are just too great for us to accomplish them. But just because that's the case, just as with any problem or issue like violence or climate change, does not mean that we can become complacent and give up on doing anything. Instead, because the needs are so great, there is no time to lose. As we see in the news right now, as we see in people around us in our communities, people's lives are truly at stake. The mission of God's reign calls every one of us to be engaged with this work right now. So earlier I asked, who's ready to sign up? It's a trick question, really, because by nature of our baptism and the promises we've made, we are already signed up. And by our presence in the church, we have already done so. And none of us is ever truly ready. We will all make mistakes. We will all miss opportunities. It's unlikely we'll ever have our faith testimony perfectly scripted and rehearsed, as our life is always changing. And we can never know what life and the road ahead will bring. But God, through Jesus and by the power of the Holy Spirit, as we hear in today's gospel, gives us what we need to engage in this mission. In the waters of baptism, we are made part of the church, the body of Christ, and we are anointed and commissioned for our own ministry in the priesthood of all believers. God has already given us the authority and the call to do this work. And as we do by grace, again, we are assured that our basic needs will be met. We find hospitality and food and drink and the staples to get us by. We do it not alone, but in community, as siblings in Christ gather to lean on one another in difficult times, to encourage us when we struggle, and to do the same for our neighbor as we bear one another's burdens, as Paul says in Galatians. We don't have to know all the right churchy words or language. We don't have to have the Bible memorized. All we are called to do is be vulnerable and authentic, and we hope passionate in our witness, just as Christ was authentic and vulnerable in giving his life on the cross. When we build relationships with one another and with those we don't know, when we are authentic and vulnerable, the Spirit can and will be at work in our witness to bear fruit and bring new life. For at the heart of this, we know that the kingdom of God has come near. All is by God's grace and all is a gift. Trusting in that promise, we too are sent. Sent in mission to bring good news, to bring healing and hope to this hurting world and to all those we meet through our risen Savior Jesus Christ, in whose name we are sent. Amen.